Don't tell me the title of your sermon's Yell Joy. I'll freak out.
No.
No. Okay, good. Oh, that would be good too, anyway. Lord, just bless him.
I'm going to change it to Yell Joy.
Okay, you want to do it now? Okay, all right. Lord, we just bless him. We just thank you for your presence here today. Just pray whatever you got in mind for us today from him. I just pray you'd release it, and I pray to have perfect freedom and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
It works way better if you turn it on. Thank you, Josh. We've been praying against beard interference. It's a new thing. It's when the beard interferes with the microphone, and so we just bind beard interference right now in Jesus' name. I learned something awesome. I love humor. I love joy. And one, because joy changed my life, but I didn't know this, but I was hanging out and talking with Kent, who is our new brain expert, and he was telling me that actually laughter and joy turns on your brain circuits. Isn't that cool? So when we shut down and we're not relational, we can't hear, if you laugh, if you think something's funny or you're enjoying something, it actually wakes your brain up to be relational again. So I'm like, well, maybe that's one of the reasons why God loves joy and I love joy so much. So hallelujah. I love when that science confirms some of the things that we're doing. Before we get started, I want to take 60 seconds. We're gonna be out of here in the next 40 minutes. We're going to land this thing at 12 o'clock, even if I have to, like, you know, floor it. But I want to take 60 seconds, turn to someone next to you, and just ask them, what is an area that you need more for, that you want to see more breakthrough, or just in a place where you want to see God increase? And just, we're going to spend 60 seconds just praying for more for one another. So turn to someone next to you. Say, where do you want more? And then pray for one another. It can be connecting with your kids. It can be finances. It can be... anything you can imagine. More, Lord. There's no one around you, just lay a hand on yourself. I do it all the time. More Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Like 30 more seconds. Thank you, God. More. Couple more seconds while I go and get a drink of water. Hold on. Keep going. You're doing good. All right. Amen. That wasn't actually a trick to get water, but it worked out well. Okay. So I want to talk about... hold on, one more thing. Lord, bless me. Here, raise out a hand to me. Lord, bless me. I pray that I'll be blasted and highly flavored this morning. And that's Acts chapter 2. Jesus said, wait for power to be poured out, which is dunamis or dynamite. And so he's praying for the church actually to get blasted, right? So Lord, I pray that I'll be blasted and highly flavored, filled with the fruit of God, filled with saltiness and just goodness, Lord, and just bless me, God. Bless the word that you have, God, for us this morning, Jesus, and I pray that we just enjoy you, enjoy your word, enjoy one another in Jesus' name. Amen. That's been my new thing. I've been praying to get blasted and highly flavored. You know, because there's blessed and highly flavored, but for some reason it didn't feel fresh to me, and so I just felt like one time God said, I want to get you blasted and highly flavored. So blasted and highly flavored keeps me, like, it kind of kills that religious thing in me. I don't know about you guys, but I still get this, like, religious thing sometimes. And, like, I don't like religion because it gets in the way of relationship. Right? It's like, it's the spirit of death that kills everything that lives. When Robbie Dawkins was here, he was talking about that. The spirit of religion, the spirit of death are the same spirit. Religion kills. I don't like religion. So sometimes, you know, I keep having to, God keeps having to help me not to get stuck in that religious place, but just to keep free. And so, you know, for me, it's being blessed and highly flavored. Something else for you guys, probably. But so I want to talk about moving forward in the old and the new. So I kind of had, there are two different things that was stirring up in my heart. One of them is I don't like being stuck. Does anyone out there like being stuck? No, okay, good. We're all in agreement. We don't like being stuck. And I mean, I like being stuck to Jesus. That's a great place to be stuck. But I don't like being stuck in anything else. And so I had a couple things stirring me. One of them is this thing of how God's heart is not for us to get stuck. And this other thing is about how God's passion and heart to bring the old and the new together. And so one of these verses, actually, I was feeling this recently. I was just feeling that kind of stuck thing. You know, and God spoke to me through this Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, and it's right after 9:6, which makes sense in the Bible. I've studied the Bible. I know 9:7 is after 9:6. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will accomplish this. And so God is saying that the kingdom of God is always increasing and it's never decreasing. Right? You know, and so sometimes I don't feel like I'm moving forward and increasing, but God says you're just going to need to reconnect with the kingdom that never is going to cease and it's always going to move forward, right? And so I got the Jesus who's connected to the kingdom, who represents the kingdom, who is the kingdom, and he's living on the inside all the time, and Jesus is never stuck. Amen? So every time I get stuck, I just need to come back and just, you know, reconnect with him, and so that really helped me. You know, and so So I'm going to combine these things, talking about the old and the new, and kind of breaking out of stuck spots by, you know, stepping into old things and stepping into new things. And, you know, as sometimes I feel old and new. You know, there's some things that some areas I feel new and younger, and there's some places I feel older. You know, I used to like be able, when I'd ride my skateboard, I used to get hurt when I fall off the skateboard. Now I get hurt trying to push the skateboard. Right? You know, it's like, I'm going to go skate, and I'm not even worried about falling as much as, like, moving my leg in the wrong way and, like, you know, pulling a muscle, which has actually happened before. And so I got to, like, stretch before I do anything. I don't know if anyone is hearing what I'm saying, you know, like before you get out of bed, you know, like, you got to make sure you do your stretches because you don't want to pull a muscle in, you know. So, you know, and I love my kids, too, because my kids are, like, so honest, you know. My kids tell me about my graying hair. You know, they ask me questions like, Daddy, where did all your hair go? You know, and I love them for that, you know, and sometimes they help me feel old. But I was actually talking to, I was saying this, I was doing something, and I was like, man, I feel old. And my youngest daughter, who's 7, turns to me, and she says, Daddy, you're not old. You're just a daddy. I'm like, I like that. I'm like, I'm not old. I'm just a daddy. This is how old daddies are supposed to be. And I'm like, I love that my kids don't view me as old. They just view me as a daddy. That's a great age to see them. So combine the old and new. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 52 says, and Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So the scribe who becomes a disciple of the kingdom. So there was a transition that was happening in Israel that, you know, the scribe was the ones that kept the law, that kept the, you know, the Torah, that kept a hold of what God was speaking to his people. But Jesus was coming on the scene and saying there's a whole new thing that's about to break open. It's called the kingdom of God coming to everybody on the planet, right? So there was a transition that was happening. And so Jesus is talking to him saying, if you can combine both the old and actually the new and bring them together, it's going to be something that's powerful. And so there's always a tension between the old and the new, but we need both. And I'm not talking about, like, old people. But sometimes it is, too. It's old. As I'm getting older, I love, you know, my feelings about, you know, young and old is changing. Let's just say that. Can anyone amen that? You know, okay. All right. I'm trying to speak carefully. But my feelings are changing about these things, but when things are combined, it's powerful. So some of the old things that we need to hold on to, places where we can get breakthrough and get unstuck in the old thing, is actually just going back to the foundational things. You know, I keep coming back to the things of the Word of God, like worship, prayer, community, evangelism. Like, these are the things that don't ever move in our life. They're always there, and we don't need less of these things. We actually need more of them. So as I get older, the temptation is to say, hey, I don't need to like memorize scripture as much, or I don't need to like pursue prayer as much. Like, I got it handled. But the reality is I have more on the line than I've ever had before, right? I got like house payments. Help me, Jesus. It's a new blessing and breakthrough. I got kids. I got all these different things. And so, you know, as we press in these things, it's, you know, it gets more difficult to put all your chips on the table when you have more chips. You know what I'm talking about? When you're young and you don't have like a lot of stuff, it's easy to say, oh, I'll risk it all for you, Jesus, because you don't have anything, right? And that's how it was. I'm like, I'll give it all to you, Jesus. And like, but now when I say I'm going to give it all to Jesus, my list is longer. Are you hearing me? You know, but it's like I have to have God keep helping in that place. It's like you need to keep pressing in. You need to increase in what you're giving and not decrease. And that happens in every single area of our lives. We need to give away more. We need to go after more. So Jeremiah 6:16, actually Jeremiah is speaking to the Israelites. They're actually doing the very thing that God told them not to do, which is, you know, back in Deuteronomy, God says, I'm going to bless you with all the stuff. And he said, you know, don't forget me. You know, don't forget who I am, and, you know, don't leave me behind. And you know what the Israelites did? They forgot him, like we can do all the time, you know, in the place of blessing. And so Jeremiah is just speaking to the Israelites and talking about this Babylonian captivity. In Jeremiah 6:16, he says, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Now, I like that rest for your souls part. Like, I love that. I love that place. I hate turmoil. I don't like, you know, one of the most precious gifts that we can get in Jesus is when our souls are at rest, right? Peace is priceless. You know, it should be like that MasterCard commercial, whatever it is. I don't remember what Discovery. I don't know much when it was, but anyways. Someone else doesn't remember, too. So that thing of peace, it's priceless. And so a lot of times, you know, there's a temptation, you know, when things aren't working, to go to a different way besides God's way. But God's way is always the best way. Even when his way hasn't worked yet, it is going to work. It will work. Just give God time. So the Defender song, I don't know if you guys like that Defender song. You know, that's the one where they come prancing with the head of the enemy back. And I don't know, there's something about that that's like really cool. It's very graphic, but very cool. And I like that it sings it like it's a lullaby. Comes back the head of my enemies, you know. Doesn't feel very warish, you know. But it goes on, and it says, you know, and hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. And hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. And so I was worshiping, and I was just camping on this area that I didn't know that this part of the song was just grabbing me. And I was realizing that God was speaking back over me and saying, you know, Ryan, you need to trust me because my way is always better than any way that you can ever dream up. You got to keep coming back to my way. You know, in Psalm 37, I love Psalm 37. It says, you know, talks about rest and wait patiently for the Lord. You know, do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so the temptation is when things are messed up is to try to do something a different way than God's way. But we need to go keep going back to God's way and doing it his way because his way works. Eventually, you know, later in that verse, Psalm, it says, and your justice will break forth like the noonday, right? So when we're in that waiting period, there's a temptation to move away from those foundational things. And so, you know, we've been doing the Awanas program and our kids are memorizing Bible verses. And I was thinking like, we need to send the whole church to the Awanas. Because, like, they're provoking me, you know? Like, and it's amazing because they're sharing these verses they memorize. And, man, I can feel the presence of God. Almost every single time they're sharing these verses, and I'm like, Jesus, I need more of this, right? And I know part of it is just because God loves our kids, and it is so powerful. When you get the Word of God in your life, you're never the same. How many people got ruined by the Word of God, right? Like, you know, like it chased you down, like it pursued you, even when you didn't want it to be pursuing you. You know, like the Word of God's like that. Amen? right? And I'm thankful for that. Same thing with praying grandmas. Praying grandmas are the same thing. Yeah. Praise God for, if you've been prayed for by a praying grandma, or you are a praying grandma, bless you both, right? Because it works, you know? And so I am convinced that my grandmother was really the only Christian in my immediate family that I know. And I know that she was praying for us, and I know that her prayers were a part of my salvation package because God got me. So watch out. You know, so sometimes we're in that place and we're like, we want to give up on something. We want to give up and not cling to the Word of God, or we don't want to cling to prayer. We don't want to cling to fellowship because we're in pain or whatever it is, but we need more, not less. Right? So keep pressing into that place. And, you know, on the community thing, praise God, you guys all came to church. You did it, right? Hallelujah. Because sometimes, is it hard to get to church sometimes? Am I the only one that battles? Just the pastor's battle with getting a church, you know? I hope not. You know, because there's a warfare element, like the devil hates when we come together. You know, and I just want to keep encouraging guys, even when church stinks, and I don't think it stinks a lot, but sometimes it does. You know, but even when it stinks, keep coming to church, because I've seen more relationships and families shipwrecked because they made a decision not to be a part of a church because the church wasn't good enough, or wasn't, you know, people weren't nice to them one day or whatever it is. And there's some really good reasons. You know, we have hurt and pain. I'm not putting those things down, but making the church the decision to stay in a community will pay in the long run, I promise you. And I used to be afraid about talking about this. I'm like, I don't want to seem like I'm like religious or trying to, you know, push people in this thing. But I've seen too many of my friends shipwreck because they made a decision not to be a part of a community. We need to be a part of the community of God. So even if you show up and you're like, I don't know, this word wasn't that great, you know, like you came. Right? Amen? Like, I'm not saying this word or whatever word it is, you know, like, this is a good word. That's right. I need to encourage myself. That's a great word, Ryan. Just bless that. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm a little Pentecostal. I got like this thing of like, I like amens and like, give me a hallelujah. And like, you know, we had those fans we were passing out in the back for a while. I like those. You know, I got the fans going in the church, and I'm like, I don't know, there's something about it. It just kind of stirred me up. So you can throw out a hallelujah, whatever it is. And yes, there we go. Thank you, Jesus. So these foundational things, like, we never graduate from them. Actually, you can never build bigger than your foundation. Right? You know, like, if you're gonna build a building taller or bigger, like, you can't ever build bigger. This really shouldn't be a tongue twister, but it is. I think I need more water. My greatest fear in life was speaking in front of people. God's funny. He's like, I'm going to put you in front of people all the time, Ryan. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. I think that God was going to call me into this or stand-up comedy, but I like this one better. I just kind of try to put them together the best I can. So, you know, our foundation, like that thing, that place we started, we can never leave that. We just got to keep going back in. And I really feel like, as we're talking about breakthrough through the old, that God is calling us to dig into the old stuff like we've never dug into it before. That I love this as a spirit-filled community. You know, I'm learning to go back and do the old stuff in a new way without the religious spirit attached to it. Right? Like the word of, like, I've been in this place for the last year and a half, like, where prayer is like my favorite thing on the planet to do. Like, I just can't wait. I'm like, I call up my friends begging them to pray for me. I'm like texting them, can you pray now? Like, can you pray now? And because what happened is that you know, and prayer carries some different dimensions, and sometimes it's hard, you know, but the thing about prayer that I've learned is that Jesus pays so well when you pray. That he always rewards you with himself at the end if you're looking for it. Right? Faith is believing that God exists and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. So every time I go to pray or I go in the Word of God, I know that God's standing in the midst of it and he's going to reward me for seeking him out. Right? So you have to have like that. And I love that he talks about faith is believing that God exists and what? This is the definition of faith in Hebrews. That he what? That he rewards. That God is a rewarder. And he knows that we're wired like this and he really is the best reward. So I've been living through, I think it's Psalm 71, where, you know, the psalmist comes in and he talks about how everything's terrible, and it's like he's thinking about, you know, how bad his life is, and then he goes in and he starts saying, and then I saw the Lord, and I started seeing things clearly. But the end part is so beautiful because he ends up in the place and saying, whom do I have in heaven but you, and there's none on the earth that I desire besides you. He went from living in his mess to having a breakthrough perspective to going to a place where saying, God, you're my everything. You know, and over thing, this is the place I want to live. I want to live in the place where I'm thinking all the time and have this perspective that God is my everything and I don't need anything else. Right? Like, it's the best place in the world. And so sometimes I keep having to break through, like, you know, we have all these good programs and all these good things we do. But in the midst of it, I'm fighting all the time. Again and again, I'm like, Jesus, I just want you to be my greatest reward. Ugh. So I want to talk, in this thing of foundational stuff, Acts 2, 41 through 47, I just want to read through this. Talking about the early church, verse 41, it says, so then those who had received his word were baptized. Peter just preached this message about the kingdom of God. It says, in that day there were about 3,000 souls added, 3,000 souls. You know what's so cool? We've had 3,000 souls added over the last 3 years through the Mercy Warehouse. And we're continuing to add. Now, as we have other evangelists out there doing the evangelism stuff, you know, it's multiplying. There's hundreds and hundreds more coming out. And this thing is just going to keep increasing. You know, so as reading through this, I'm like, man, this, like, it's so exciting. God is doing this stuff in our midst, right? Verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking bread of prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place with the apostles. And all those who believed were together in all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as any might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness. They were happy people and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the numbers day by day those who were being saved. And so they're doing the foundational stuff. They were hearing the word of God. They were in the place of prayer and fellowship, and they're doing these things, and God was doing signs and wonders in the midst. And that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And that's the kind of church I get to be a part of. Amen? More. So one more thing I want to talk about. I want to mention two things real quick. Another old thing that I feel like God wants us to keep pressing into is prophetic words that God's given us. You know, there's some things that God has spoken to you that he's not done doing yet. And we need to go back and revisit those words. I just went through this. I'm like, oh my goodness. I was having this conversation with someone. I was actually talking to Kent Larson. And he mentioned this thing. And I was like, you know what? He actually mentioned this guy, Billy, who's this like wild prophet dude. And I'm like, Billy gave me a word 2 years ago, and I totally forgot about it. But I wrote it down. I wrote it down in my Evernote, you know, thing, because I lose paper, so I got to use something that's got like a program and a mind that's better than mine. And I wrote it down and went back, and I was like, Jesus, this is a good word. I don't believe I forgot about this thing. You know, and so God was encouraging me and saying, you fight the good warfare. This actually, I love this verse, 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to faith. So we fight the good fight through the prophetic word that God given us. You know, every time that I feel like I'm supposed to do something impossible, I know all I need is a word. Right? And so I live in that place, and a lot of times I'm talking, you know, my wife and I are talking about something, and I'm like, you know, we should go after this. And I'm like, I know a little bit about how this thing is going to look, and I'm going to need a word from the Lord to get this thing done. Right? You know, but if I have the word of God, the impossible actually becomes possible. Right? So some of us need to go back and just revisit this impossible word that is now made possible because God spoke to us. So the next thing, honor for how God has moved and who is moving through in the past. I got 18 minutes, Jesus. Come on. So honor is such an amazing thing. Honor changed my life. You know, honor is a lens that we wear, that we learn to see people the way that God sees people. And seeing them correctly, we actually get to receive what they have. Right? You know, and part of it is like honor has this prophetic piece of it. You know, I love it. For me, it just was a companion of the prophetic. Because I started, you know, early on realizing that I started when I started honoring people, the first thing that happened is I realized that I got to see them, first of all, as Jesus saw them. The second part is I started getting to receive what actually God gave them. Right? Because you can't receive something from someone if you don't honor who they are. And so it's really important to get this honor thing in your heart. And the other part, too, is honor is transformational. When we see people, you know, how many people have tried to transform, you know, tried to see change in someone's life by being grumpy and mean? I'm still sometimes trying to do that with my kids. I'm asking God for help in this. You can pray for me. You know, I'm like, if I, you know, it's that thing. Obviously, there's correction and these things involved. But I remember, you know, early on in the beginning days that, you know, with my daughter who was, you know, had this thing where she would yell mean things at us all the time. And I was trying to figure out what to do. And God said, why don't you overcome, evil with good? And I started proclaiming who she was. You know, that thing where she started yelling mean things at us, like you stink and you smell, like these are real things that she did. She is a fireball from heaven. I call her my fireball from heaven. God gave her to us to bless us with more fire. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and so I just started saying, you're beautiful and you're wonderful. And in the beginning, she'd grunt and go, you're beautiful. You know, same feisty spirit. Do you remember this, sweetheart? This was awesome. Like, honestly, a lot of times when God tells, there's things that God tells me to do, and I'm like, God, this isn't going to work. You know, I'm like, I was thinking that, and I'm like, but I've tried everything else, so I'm going to try what you're going to say now, right? So we start doing this, and so in the beginning, for the first, like, 2 weeks, she's like, you're beautiful, and you're nice, and you're wonderful, but, you know, meanly still, like, grunting it and groaning it at us. And then within like 2 weeks, she's like, she just stopped and she started being nice. I mean, this is amazing. I thought she was gonna kill us. And you know what happened that season though? I started pressing in because there was so much warfare around this wonderful little package that God gave us. There was so much warfare and pain around this thing. I started pressing into God, and I have more insight about who she is in the Lord than any of my other kids, because her pain caused me to press into Jesus to see more of who she is than anyone else. And so I have this thing that rests in us, my spirit. It's so crazy, because this happens when, you know, I think this would happen when Paul was praying for the church, where, you know, he'd say, it's only right for me to feel this way because I have you in my heart. He says that in Philippians 2, he says, you know, that he believes God's going to be faithful to complete what he started. And he said, it's right for me to feel this way because you're in my heart. Because when someone gets inside of you and you start seeing them how God sees them, you start living out life differently. You start living towards them differently. And so I have this thing that even in like the most roughest times with my kids, I have a viewpoint, an imprint of who they really are on the inside. And it guides me through all their mess. Not perfectly, but it helps a lot. You hear what I'm talking about? You know, so when we pray for people, when we bless them, we get this honor thing on. You know, and part of it too is like honoring what God's done in the past. Like, I'm so thankful for our inheritance that we've received as a church, right? For what people like John Wimber and, you know, like we stand on the revelation of thousands of years of the Reformation and all this beautiful stuff. And like, I just love this stuff. You know, even we look at new fresh movements in the body of Christ and what Bill Johnson has done, and like he built off someone else's stuff. He took the building and he brought it a little bit higher, and we've actually stepped into some of those things, and we have our own stuff too. You know, but I love that there's this honor thing, that he honors what God's done in the past. Actually, honor what God did in the past sets you up for what God's about to do in the future. I think that's a good word. So I love this real quick with Elijah and Elisha. I think this is a beautiful example, because Elijah, you know, in the Bible, it's interesting because Elijah is mentioned over and over again, even though Elisha was the one that did many more miracles. Actually, most scholars believe that he literally did twice as many miracles as Elijah. But Elijah's the one that's mentioned in the book of Malachi. And Elijah's the one that's mentioned as, you know, as Jesus talks about John the Baptist. And so I think that Elijah's mentioned because in the Bible, the father gets the honor, but the sons and daughters actually get the double portion, right? So that's how honor works. Like, honor your mom and dad. You know, that's a good word right there. Lord, I pray that on my kids. Honor your mom and dad. Like, you know, for with it is the promise of long life. You know, when we honor those above us and those that have given to us, it's beautiful because they receive the honor, but we get double portions. We get to carry not only what God's imparted to us, but we get to carry actually what they're imparting to us. We get a double-decker bus. I kind of wish we had double-decker buses sometimes. I think they're kind of cool. I don't know, it was weird. I was just talking to my kids about double-decker buses last week. So Malachi 4, and so I want to say this too, that I believe that honor is a part of the glue that holds the family of God together. Honor is glue that holds the family together. And it's interesting, and I want to read this verse in Malachi. Malachi 4, 5 through 6 says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." So it's interesting that the spirit of Elijah actually is the spirit that brings family, right? This honor thing that Elijah and Elisha were walking out, where Elijah, you know, fathered and poured out, and he literally released the grace that was upon his life to his kids, is the same thing that the Bible highlights that actually brings, that restores family in the church. Does that make sense? Mostly makes sense. So I want to continue to honor what God's done in the past. I just want to, oh, Jesus, 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to go on the next part. So I want to touch on moving forward in the new. I'm just feeling a lot of Jesus right now. I'm just pausing for him. Whew. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I have this weird thing that sometimes, like, I start feeling intense, the presence of God and intense fire, and it's really uncomfortable. No. Unless you want me preaching from the ground. Oh, you want me preaching from the ground? Okay. Oh, Jesus. So I was going to talk about the new wine. Okay, I'm going to go through a couple of these. So moving forward in the new... One thing is we need to be checking in for new words. Do you guys remember the story of Abraham and Isaac, right? Goes up to the mountain, and like he's about to like kill his son, but the angel cries out, "Don't do it." Like that was a good word, right? So sometimes it's really good to check in and to make sure that like, you know, that maybe we did the old word, or maybe God's got some new information. So I just talked about, this is the tension. Sometimes we got to, you know, we're going back to the old thing. We're saying, "God, I need to hold on to this." But sometimes it's really important that we hear the new word, right? So I'm glad that Abraham was, like, listening, and, like, he got some help. It was an angel. Most of the time, the new prophetic words that I get aren't that clear, you know. But we need to keep checking in, because sometimes God's got something new that he wants to say to us, even about something that was old, right? So sometimes we're stuck because we're like, "God, I'm just doing this thing, you know, told me to do." And God's like, "Well, I got a little bit of new information. If you just tweak it just a little bit, everything will change." Have you guys seen that before? You know, it's like, and I don't know what it is, but every single time that God gives me, it's like, not every time, but almost every time, I have, it's a faith test. Like, "God, is this really going to work?" You know, it's like, because it doesn't make much sense in the nets. It's like that thing where the fishermen are fishing all night, and Jesus is like, "We'll just throw it to the other side." And you're like, "But the fish, I think, you know, I don't think they're just hanging out on one side of the boat, Jesus, right?" You know, and Jesus is like, no, just trust me, just toss the net over to the other side, and it's going to be great." And they're like, okay, and I'm sure in their hearts they're like, "I don't know how long you've been fishing, you know. But I've been fishing for a really long time, and the net and the other things." But they listened, right? They obeyed the word. And so sometimes we just need to toss the net on the other side, and our breakthrough's right there. That's a good word. So we got to keep checking in with the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe how many times God's done that in my life. You know, so we need to keep checking with Jesus because, and I've been, this thing's really been stirring on me. We always need to be looking for new ways that God might even want to be doing old things. Because sometimes, like, we have these different ways we do things, but when I look at Jesus, Jesus never did the same thing twice exactly the same. And there was always this part that was like risky and like faith-filled, like, I am so glad, again, that Jesus has never called me to spit in people's eyes. Right? I mean, he technically didn't spit right in the eye. This isn't better. He spit it on the ground and made mud cakes, you know, like when you're a kid, you know, and he threw it in a guy's eye. And he said, yeah, go wash out. You're going to be cool, you know. Like, is anyone else praising God that Jesus hasn't called him to do that yet? I'm glad Jesus doesn't do with anything ever the same because I don't want to repeat that one, right? So it's easy, you know, like we can get stuck in that thing. Like, what if Jesus did spit in your eye and you got healed? Like, you could start a church called the Church of the Holy Spittle. Like, we do things like this. We're like, I'm going to camp around the spit of Jesus, you know? Or maybe you like the woman who touched his cloak and she got healed. We're gonna call ourselves the cloakers of God, you know. And whatever it is, we can come and we can camp around these things. But it's a relationship, and Jesus never does anything the same. He's always doing it new. So we need to keep checking in. And you know, the greatest breakthroughs I've gotten in my life always comes from a place where God asks me to risk and do something that is not comfortable for me. Right? It's like he wants you to live walking on water. He does. He wants us living continually in this risk place of being uncomfortable. But he comes and meets you there every single time. Right? I love that. Even when you're walking on the water and you take a step of faith, even if you're drowned, he comes and reaches out and rescues you. Have you guys seen that? You can't mess up by risking with God. You can't fail. And this is part of my journey. That I'm learning this. I'm learning to measure my breakthrough, not if I got something right or wrong in that moment, but the fact that I'm moving down the road. Right? The fact that I'm moving forward, that's the breakthrough. I'm like, I've been praying for something. I want to stay through. Right? I just don't want to break through. I want to like live on the other side of the thing. You know? Like, breakthrough is cool, but I actually like live. Are you guys hearing me? You know, like, I want to stay through. It's probably not the best way to say it yet, but I don't know how to say it, right? Like, I was having this thing of saying, I don't want to, like, live in the figure-it-out room. I want to live in the restroom of the Lord. But that's not right. I know I'm, like, still working on that one. Like, it actually, as a parent, the restroom is actually one of the only safe places in my house. I mean, Daddy, are you camping in there? No, I'm just trying to get a break. Help me, Jesus. I so want to say something that I don't think is quite appropriate, so I'm wrestling with it. I just say, I see the Lord seated on the throne. I just, you know, I do. This is no joke. I have had one of my... I'm not going to go into details. Let's just say God can talk to you at any place, okay? any place that you're sitting and listening is a good place for God to talk to you. Well, if there's a religious spirit, I think I just chased it out. And if you're getting up to leave, I'm not saying it's you. So... Moving forward in the new, looking for new things that God's going to do, new ways that he's going to do it all the time. I believe that actually God has a new wine and a new wineskin for us as a church, and for also, I believe that God's about to release new wine in the church. Actually, I think it's already happening. There is already new wine being poured out. And, you know, I love that when Jesus talks about new wine, because this is, if we want more breakthrough, we need to receive what God's doing, right? The fresh things that God's doing. So there's some things that are never going to change, but there's some things new that God's doing all the time. And some of those new things have really brought some radical transformation just to us as a church life. Like, I am so thankful for learning how powerful it is just sharing a testimony, right? This whole thing of having culture, we're continually sharing the good news about what God's doing, which is way better than sharing bad news all the time. As a pastor, I praise God for that, right? Thank you guys for becoming a community that talks about good news all the time. We as the pastoral staff bless you in the name of Jesus. And you know, it's okay. I'm not saying you can't talk about bad stuff, because the good thing is I have so many testimonies on the inside. Anything bad that you're talking about, I have a testimony for where God's broken through and done something good. Yay, Jesus. So I love when Jesus is talking about the new wine. I want to read Luke 5, 37 through 39. I have 2 minutes. I don't know if I could. I can probably do it in seven minutes. Can I have 7 minutes? 7 minutes. Okay, two people say I can have 7 minutes. Do I hear five? 5 minutes out there. Five minutes. Okay. I'm going to go with five. I felt like over 50%, so I'm going to go for 5 minutes. So Jesus, I got to go back to the Bible, Luke 5, 37 through 39, and no one puts new wine into old wineskin, otherwise a new wine will burst in the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must first be put into fresh wineskins. Many translations say new, but NASB says fresh. And no one after drinking old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. Like, I love that. Like, no one after experiencing the new thing that God's doing says, I just wish we had the old thing back. Right? Because when you taste of the new thing that God's doing, you can't go back because it's too good. Right? So, and I love this thing actually in the Word of God. It says that, verse something, it's in the Bible. The stretching part, you know. So the wineskin has to stretch. Like, it, you know, that's part of what happened in wineskins. It had to be flexible. You know, there's a flexibility to the wineskin. So every single time God's doing something fresh and new, have you ever noticed that? He's stretching you all the time. You know, he's trying to keep us flexible. But I love that, you know, I used to think that God could only do like, it was a new wineskin. I'm like, oh no, God, if I've experienced something good before, or the church has experienced something good before, we can't get it again because we're not a new wineskin. But actually, I love how the NASB translated fresh, because the word new here is actually the word renewed. That you could, I'm going to actually read out of John, this is from John Corson's commentary, he's a Bible guy I love. It says, the word translated new in relation to wine is neos, but the word translated new or fresh in relation to wineskin is kainos, and literally means renewed. In Bible days, wineskins were relatively expensive, so when they began to get hard, he who didn't have money for a new one would soak the old one in water until the elasticity and the flexibility returned. So we need to keep being soakers. We soak in the Spirit. We soak in the Word of God. We say, God, what's that new thing that you have for us? And even old places become flexible and unrigid again. And we get prepared for new wine. And that's what's been happening. I believe that God's been doing that in our midst already, that this evangelism thing that's breaking out is a part of the new wine. And I say that not that evangelism is new, but the whole church is going to be evangelizing. Right? So I'm gonna just touch on some of these areas that I feel like are gonna be increasing. Church unity is actually a new wineskin. Pastors are beginning to like each other in the body of Christ. Right? It's amazing. For real, like, they're encouraging. This is like, guys, this is a major breakthrough. I don't know. Pastors' meetings were like my least favorite meetings to go to on the planet. Are you guys hearing me? It's like, worship leaders were cool. You know, you go and hang out with worship leaders, and they're like, you know, we're just going to sing songs together and love God. And you go to pastors' meeting, they're like, I'm going to talk about how big my church is. You know, like, there's that thing in there, that kind of like competitive thing, you know. And so, but that thing is breaking loose out of the church. It's not breaking loose as a more, but it's breaking off. And churches are beginning to, I love that announcement. That's one of the reasons why I love that. You did a great job doing announcements this morning, Mike. But one of the reasons I love that announcement was that pastors in the region are getting together to fight for kingdom purposes, because we can never get to what God wants to release unless we do it together. Because God's fighting not just for churches, he's fighting for cities and he's fighting for regions. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is such good news. So I also see that God's breaking through in movies and entertainment. Movies are not stinking. Christian movies are not nearly as stinky as they used to be. Praise God. Can everyone get an amen for that? They're not where they need to be yet, but they're getting a lot closer. Right? The entertainment area is being influenced. Education. Oh my goodness, my children are part of a private full-time Christian school that offers kingdom teaching along with excellent education, and their vision is to offer affordable Christian education for any family. I mean, guys, this is a breakthrough. I'm like, when I heard this, I'm like, this could transform education. Because, right, there's just battles in education. I don't want to get into it. But this thing of saying, you know, not having to pay $1 million to send your kid to a private school just because you don't want to get them caught up in the culture, right? And so, Lord, we just pray for that. I just pray for this woman right now, Renee. Lord, bless her, God. Bless this vision on her, Lord. I believe that you want to multiply this thing throughout the region. God, we just pray for more in Jesus' name. God, I pray for financial backing from business people, God, and families, Lord. I pray that she'd meet the right people, God. And I pray that you'd continue to move, God, in these areas of influence, God, and education, God. Lord, I pray you take education back. God, in Jesus' name, God, I pray that you take entertainment back in Jesus' name. God, I pray you take back music, oh, in Jesus' name, Lord. I just pray all these spheres, God, that you'd come and bring your influence, God, that we'd be the head of these things, God, and not the tail of these things, God, because your vision is to influence every single area of the world, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. So we just say, let it come. Let it come, God. Let it come. Oh, I am like, I have a hopeful eschatology now. I don't know how it's going to work out. I know in the end, Jesus comes back and like it's really good, right? I know there could be some really difficult things that happen in between. That's very possibly true. And if that happens, God's going to give us grace to deal with it. But I have to have this in my heart no matter what, is that I have to believe that God's got more for the next generation than he had for my generation. I can't let go of that. I have to believe, God is doing this in our midst, but no matter where I land, I have a hope infection, and I'm not ever going to get rid of it. Okay, so let's just stand up together. I'm going to land us on this as we're, you said 5 minutes, and I'm like, I'm at six. So, I'm sorry, I repent. So the last thing I want to say is that I believe that this movement's going to come and this increase is going to come as God continues to grab hold of revelation that church is a family, as we continue to move into greater discipleship, and it gets married to a fivefold ministry. And I want to talk about this more some other time, but we need to stop being afraid of the best stuff that God has to offer the church. Right? Like we talk about apostolic giftings and prophetic giftings and we get all freaked out, but guys, how many people know we need these gifts in the church? Right? And so we're going to keep pressing into this thing because when I read Ephesians chapter 4, is that we can't get everything that God has to offer unless we receive everything that God's offering. Right? We can't get to it. It's, you know, God's got this thing. It's always his way. He's funny about it. Have you guys realized that? You're like, God, can we make a compromise? He's like, no, it's my way. He's like, I want to do it my way. He's like the Burger King commercial reversed, you know, like it's got to be his way, but his way is always the better way. And so, Lord, if you just want more, if you're looking for more wine, if you want to become flexible again, if you're hungry for more, then just come up. I want to pray for us. Lord, if you make us flexible, God. I just pray for the places, Lord, that we're not feeling flexible, God, that you'd make us flexible, God. Soak us with a spirit again, God. Make us pliable, God. Open up our hearts. Open up our mind, God. Give us new mind skins. Jesus, we need new mind skins. We need new ways about thinking about things, God. Help us, Lord. I just have this thing. I feel like this, you know, whenever God's pouring out something on me, it's usually not just for me, it's to give away. And I just keep feeling this intense, like, fire thing. And I don't know what it is. I just, about fire, I felt the same thing last night. So I just pray for the release of God's fire on you in Jesus' name. Let your fire come, God. Let your fire come. God, burn away things that, God, are standing in the way, God, of what you want to do. We just thank you, Lord. I love the fire of God because it purifies and it stirs at the same time. It's a double-edged sword. And so, Lord, I pray things that need to be purified will be purified. And I pray for the things that need to get stirred up will get stirred up in Jesus' name. Lord, and I just have this thing too that there's like gifting things that you want to just stir right now, Lord. And one of those things that I believe that God's stirring up fresh and new in our body is intercession and prayer. So if you just feel like you have a calling to prayer specifically, just raise up your hand. I want to pray for you just for a moment. Lord, I just thank you. I see these hands. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, I pray you'd bless our intercessors. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I just break off warfare. I break off disconnection. The places where the enemy has tried to scatter you, I believe that God's going to regather you. I just proclaim that over you. The places where the enemy has tried to scatter you, I believe that God's going to regather you. In Jesus' name, Lord. And so I pray that you begin to gather the intercessors like never before, Lord. I pray that you restore fire into them, God. And I pray to make them happy. I pray for the release of joy, God, in prayer. Joy in prayer. My house will be a house. My house of prayer will be a house that's filled with joy. And so I declare that this is the season for joyful prayer. This is the season where God's going to pour out joy in prayer, joy in communion. And so, Lord, let it come. And if you need more joy, just raise your hand. Lord, it's like cheating. If you want to be happier, put your hands up. If you're happy and you know it. If you're happy and you know it. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We just receive your joy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray for some of you guys, but you don't need me. Because God's here. God's here. You don't need me to pray for you because God's here. So, Lord, just lay your hands on everybody. He lives on the inside, so he doesn't have to reach very far. And I just pray more. More in Jesus' name. Actually, just do this. Put a hand on someone next to you, just on their shoulder. Put a shoulder. You got it. Just shoulders next to you, and just start praying for that fresh wine. Just start praying for that fresh release. The person on the right, person on the left. We just pray for more. So often we're waiting for, you know, the ministry community to do something for us, and I'm thankful for them, but you have something to give right now. And so we just pray right now that we just give away what we got. Because you got something. You got something to give. Ho! You got something to give. You got something to give. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to keep worshiping up here at the front. If you have to go, you're dismissed. Bless you guys. We're just going to hang out for a couple minutes and just continue to press into Jesus. Bless you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha.